Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show. And we're brought to you as ever by our friends at
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Hey, get a great show. We got Randy Corcoran coming up. I think we can bring him up. Randy, if you're there, go ahead and unmute yourself and bring your camera up. Also, a real developing situation about the kid who was arrested in the shooting in Kenosha. That's a good reason, like, you don't ever want to jump to conclusions before you see all of the evidence. And at 3:30 Denver time, we're going to be talking to, she's a friend of a friend, Cindy Green, like a true grassroots suburban mom. You will be surprised to hear at the kind of Trump support she is kind of gathering just all on her own. So a lot going on today. But let's just welcome in our friend Randy Corcoran. Randy, I saw your tweet earlier. You were at the laundromat. Have you, you're at the Republican National Convention, but apparently hotter than you were expecting there.
Well, I just wanted to see if you guys noticed anything different about me now. The swampy swamp thing going.
Swag, swag, swag.
So no, it was, you know, I didn't travel out here expecting to stay for the president. And so I had to go to a laundromat to have clothes to wear for tomorrow. But it was very interesting to be at the laundromat because I sat down next to a black gentleman who was there with his daughter doing laundry. And we started talking about the virus. And he just kept throwing, well, the government knew about this back in November and they didn't tell us. And he's got a lung condition. And I was talking to him about hydroxychloroquine. And he said, well, that's the thing that Trump wants to kill us all with. You know, I mean,
oh my gosh.
It was an incredible conversation. And I really worked with him and I gave him suggestions. I've become friends with a black doctor in Texas who's also the Republican National Committee man from Texas, who has actually prescribed hydroxychloroquine to 330 nursing home patients.
Oh.
Only three of them have died. Everybody else has made a full recovery and they didn't die because of the hydroxy. So he's a believer. He's going around the country trying to sell it. So I don't know if I helped this man or not. But CNN was on up in the TV in the laundromat. And I just felt like, man, oh, man, these guys are just spoon-fed all of this crap every single day.
It is.
Let me know. Now, you're down at the convention, although, you know, everything else has been from the White House, the Rose Garden, all around. I mean, the Roman Emperor Tiberius said that he put a couple hundred men together. They will soon conspire to take over the world. So,
what are you guys up to?
What are you 300 plus men up, men and women up to?
Well, most everybody is gone. The festivities in North Carolina ended on Monday after we voted to renominate President Trump and Vice President Pence. And so I stayed there an extra day so I could catch a plane coming here to DC, and we don't gather again together. There's a few people who've been invited to watch the president's speech on Thursday night at the South Lawn of the White House.
And I'm among yourself? That. Oh, wow.
I'm among that lucky few. So of course I had to make my way up here, even though it involved a laundromat. So I could go see the president on Thursday. Very excited about that.
Well, let us ask you, what's your, you know, you were there, you've been involved. I mean, you've been kind of part of the action there. What's your take on how things are going?
Well, I assume you watch the convention on TV like the rest of us do, more or less.
Yeah, I've actually been watching it on OAN through the Cloud TV, which is offering free access to OANN until the end of the year, KLOWD TV. Because I can't stand what Fox is doing.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
You should have heard Chuck shouting at Sean Hannity.
Shut up.
What the heck? We can hear them ramble anytime.
Yes.
Right.
There's a whole theme, and some of these speakers from the RNC have been
so
extraordinary.
Powerful. Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right. Well, let me play. We want to play you a videotape. We put somebody, not us, but I think the Daily Caller did this, put together a montage. This was the mainstream media's reaction. And if you think that a memo doesn't go out that they don't all get, just listen to this and tell me what you think.
There's someone at my door. I'm sorry. I'll be
okay, all right. Well, we'll play this for our listeners then.
While well, you're gone.
Randy's got, I don't know.
It's that black guy from the laundromat with a gun. Take him out.
Thomas, if we could go. So what this is a mix of the the Democrat-controlled mainstream media. I mean, okay, you're back. You okay? Everything good?
You were able to get the drugs? You got all the drugs and stuff?
I am at a Westin a block or two from the White House, and it is dead. There's nobody here.
Wow.
The Westin in Charlotte, they opened only for the convention. It's now shut down again. This Westin here is open only for this week of the convention. It's going to shut down again when I leave. So to get paper plates or to get ice or to get a towel, you literally have to go through an entire process. They're not servicing the room, no bars, no restaurants, and nobody downstairs. There are no people here at all.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. All right. Well, listen, let me go back to this video. So this was the memo went out to the Democrats and their lapdogs in the media on how to describe the first night of the Republican National Convention. So, Thomas, if we could just play this short clip. Go ahead, please.
This decision to go dark.
Dark, divisive version of America.
Dark and distorted version of reality.
Dark, dystopian view of America.
Dark warning.
Dark and sad.
Dark and divisive.
The first night of the convention. It really took a dark turn. It was ominous.
And painting a dark picture.
Painting a dark picture.
Painting a dark picture.
But a lot of people saw a very dark picture.
Dark and dystopian.
Absolutely dark.
Dark portrait of America.
Darkness, doom, and gloom.
It quickly turned very dark.
Pretty bleak, dark, and scary.
There were certainly a lot of dark and dire pronouncements.
Pretty dark vision as well.
Yeah, it's darkness and fear.
Some of the speakers were quite dark.
But there were also dark appeals to the president's base.
As for the Biden campaign, it did release a statement calling the first night of the RNC dark and divisive.
What a coincidence. They're all using the same words as the Biden campaign.
Reminds me of the day after the inauguration speech. That was a dark vision of the future of America. And, you know, none of these things have worked for them. My optimism, seeing the Republican machine that's at work right now for fundraising, for organizing, the record number of volunteers, even in Colorado, record number of staff members, paid staff and volunteers and voter contacts. And this will make Chuck happy. There was serious conversation in the RNC training sessions and meetings about what's going on to protect the vote, to get the ballots in, to support absentee ballots, but fight like crazy against this, just mail out ballots to anybody and everybody, and then to get them back in and tracked. So I don't know if it's enough, but it is the biggest effort I've ever seen from these people.
That's what Colorado should have done for the last 4 years, but at least somewhere, somebody's gotten the memo.
Well, what's your take? So it looks like, you know, you look at the people watching and it appears online way more people, kind of like you, are watching it. Republicans are than watching Democrats. Democrats have a little bit of an edge, you know, number-wise, in terms of the number of viewers. But I just think, I don't know that's, you can totally rely on that because there's so many different avenues of watching it anymore. But in general, to me, it seemed anything but dark. To me, it seemed like they're all this just regular people, to me, doing a good job of explaining how President Trump and his policies have made their lives better, have impacted them. And then I think they're doing a good job of taking a smack at the Democrats saying, what do you, you know, the chaos is not good. You know, if you're an African-American, you know, you can't tell me how to vote, that kind of thing. What's your take?
I just think it's brilliant. And I had heard that the initial reports were something like six times as many people had watched the RNC as the DNC. So
That's online.
Okay. So then the Nielsen ratings came out and showed me. Well, we're always going to lose the popular vote. You know, the only thing that we need to win are the battleground states to get enough electoral college votes for the president to win again. And so that's what I'm focused on, is those battleground states.
Well, it's interesting. If the first night was all dark, according to him, the second night was the illegal. You can't you can't have the Secretary of State, a cabinet officer, come to a convention. It doesn't matter. In 2012, they had five cabinet officers speak to the Democratic convention. It's illegal. You can't have something in the Rose Garden. Why not? Well, they've decided.
It's illegal.
You can't have it in the Rose Garden.
Abuse of power.
You can't give somebody a pardon during a convention. You can't swear in people who are immigrants during the convention. I mean, they've made up this whole set of laws that we've now violated once we do them.
Well, it's desperation. You know, the theme of this convention is honoring the great American story. And the first night was land of promise. Last night was land of opportunity. Tonight is land of heroes. Vice President and Second Lady Pence have a son who's in the military. Dan Crenshaw will be speaking and others. And then tomorrow they're going to cap it off with land of greatness and President Trump's acceptance speech. And, you know, you think about how Ronald Reagan approached politics, and he always had these great visions with optimism and humor and the whole nine yards. You know, you and I find Trump very funny, but a lot of people don't. But as far as the optimism, as far as the track record, as far as the empowered women, and, you know, the only thing dark in the speeches last night was the color of so many of the participants' skin.
Right.
And very successful, powerful, conservative African-American and others. That Cuban man's speech was incredible. Where else do you go?
He was great.
No, that was wrong. Somehow that was illegal too. I forget what I read. That was illegal.
Well, no, it was also illegal. Bette Midler, when they had Ivana Trump, Melania Trump on, she said, get that illegal alien off of there. And then she added that she didn't even know how to speak English right. And Piers Morgan, like sometimes, other times don't, tweeted out, who knew that Bette Midler is a racist?
Well, you know, you were talking about the COVID thing, and maybe if you could describe that there, because I know I talked to relatives around the country, and different states have very different experiences. And I think in Colorado, relatively speaking, we're kind of lucky. But I submit, though, that the Democrats are doing everything they can to scare everybody to death for as long as they can for a number of reasons. And it sounds like it's working at least a little bit there. But do you think it's going to keep working?
Well, you know, I've had plenty of private aside conversations with the people I meet behind the desk at the hotels, the professionals on the airlines, and just all kinds of different places, and they all think it's ridiculous. They all think it's outrageous, and that's even here in very blue Washington, D.C. Nobody has said, oh, thank God I'm ordered to wear a mask, you know.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, I imagine as we speak that Patrick Neville and others are on the south steps of the Colorado Supreme Court building announcing the fact that we're filing a direct petition to the Colorado Supreme Court with regard to the mask mandate today. So,
breaking news here then. So yeah. Let's go into that, because you're the lawyer filing that. What's going on? I mean,
what's the basis?
Yeah,
what are the...
And what do you hope is going to happen?
Well, the reason we're taking it directly to the Colorado Supreme Court and asking them, they can reject it, but if so, we've got a district court complaint ready to file, is because we're challenging the violation of the Colorado Constitution, which has very strong provisions against this delegation of authority. And, you know, you can't really argue the science, because they'll bring in their experts, we'll bring in our experts, and then the court is going to defer with the decision makers deciding which experts to believe.
Right.
So we're trying to challenge it from the most basic premise that that the legislature, when they gave the governor these excessive powers, they exceeded their own constitutional authority, and that the governor, in exercising these emergency powers, has gone way beyond whatever the intent of that emergency statute ever was. To declare that we're still in an emergency 5.5 months later,
right,
when we have tons of medical resources available, when we know that the people who die are typically 60 and over, and even more 80 and over, or have serious health conditions, and we know how to protect folks now. It's just an outrageous abuse of power. That's basically our argument.
It's not even a pandemic anymore, right? And the CDC has said you don't have to quarantine people. The CDC is now changing its things.
Well, the number of people who die in Colorado is 1-2. I mean, more people die of hangnail. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. They find another reason why to close down the government. I think that's a really good point, that the legislature really could not give away the democracy over to a governor when they do it. You know, that in itself is an improper delegation of the powers of state.
Yeah. And how great to have Patrick Neville, the minority leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
Michelle Malkin couldn't make it up. We've listed her as a plaintiff as well, but Patrick, you know, his argument today, I'm sure, is, look, we were in session while the governor was doing this, and he could call a special session.
Right.
He could do any number of things to allow the representatives of the people to also be involved now that we're no longer dealing with an unknown surprise attack from the Chinese Communist government.
Right. Well, and it seems you're absolutely right. I mean, common sense indicates if your poll is, I mean, he could in November declare an emergency and eliminate the legislative session. I mean, he could just keep doing this forever. And you're absolutely right. At a certain point, and I guess it's up to the court to decide when is that point, he can't keep declaring emergencies.
Well, at least the court didn't recognize some limits on it. They did strike his unconstitutional deciding that you could get signatures by internet. So at least now, of course,
contrary to a very explicit constitutional provision, which is why we've chosen this approach. We're hoping, I mean, it's a 100+ page complaint. So it is well founded, and we're hoping that the Supreme Court will accept it because of the constitutional challenges.
What about this too, and on this, and we can get back to the convention, but it seems to me that just the weird inconsistencies, I mean, you talked about some of that with Bandomir, right? Where it was like, no matter what Bandomir agreed to, they said, oh, that's not good enough. And then they changed it. You know, Polis, like 2 weeks ago, it was so dangerous. All the bars had to close at 10. Well, now they can close at 11.
Because he's calculated, finally tuned when the coronavirus hits.
The virus has evolved.
Yeah, it
has. It just seems to me that inherent in all of the executive orders that he's issued, it's complete, you know, I mean, it's just completely made up, really.
Arbitrary and capricious.
Talk to us a little bit then about, because I just want to hear the inside scoop. So you got the invitation. Did you know you were going to get the invitation from the president?
Absolutely not. In fact, I was still home when the invitation came, and I told my wife, I immediately wrote back and said, can I bring my wife? Huh? And I learned later that that's probably, I still haven't heard back, but I've heard that that's not very likely.
Okay.
But then I was just, you know, gosh, what do I do? We're supposed to roll out these lawsuits today on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We've got the Bandomir lawsuit ready to go as well, but the Bandomirs want to wait until I get back. So we'll be doing another press conference next week for that one. And just, there was just so many things to juggle and change. But then I thought, my God, how could I not?
Yeah.
Within about 20 minutes, I accepted. And now I'm just waiting to see if I can get past the Secret Service on this.
Well,
how many people from Colorado have been invited?
Lauren Boebert, I think, is going to be there, right?
Lauren's, yeah, I got a text from her. She's not here yet, I don't think, but she told me she was coming. And I do believe that there are a couple of the delegates, Ken Buckham, I would think, and Vera Ortegon, I think, the Republican National Committee woman. So I'm very sure that it has to do with our position now as members of the Republican National Committee.
Right.
Well, I can just see you saying, dear Donald, hey, thanks for the invite, but busy.
I got to file this lawsuit back in Denver. I can come next time. Oh, wait.
So what do you have to go through? I mean, have they given you the procedure? Is it one of those things where they just say, like they do with the media, show up like hours before the event in a really hot place without any bathroom or food and stand around? Is that probably what it's going
to
be?
The last time I had to go through this process was for a policy briefing that I was involved with in the White House with Ken Cuccinelli and some others. And we didn't hear anything until the night before.
Yeah.
And then they tell you which gate to come in and what time to be there and make sure you bring the ID that has your name just exactly right. And
right.
Do you go through any kind of FBI check?
I don't know I'm not aware of what the Secret Service puts you through. So
I must admit, if they said, well, you know, we have to do an FBI check, so the FBI wants to talk to you, you go, no, gonna do it.
I did not talk to him. I did not send the FISA warrant. Well, so, you know, looking ahead then, first, for the rest of the convention, as somebody who was there, I got to imagine that the Republicans you talked to, like I think people here that we talked to and friends and stuff have just been thrilled with the convention, particularly after the Democrats was so weird. And actresses that no one ever heard of, at least I never heard of, wandering around. I mean, what's sort of the general sense that you're getting from folks?
Just tremendous momentum, tremendous optimism. I don't remember. I know Chuck was early on a Trump supporter. I don't know how full-throated he was in believing that Trump would actually perform the way he has.
I thought he would not, because people always disappoint you. They always disappoint
right.
you.
Right. And so,
yeah, except Julie. Right. but they just do. It's just the nature of things. And most people view their campaign promises as just that. George Bush, H.W. Bush.
That was a campaign promise.
Yeah. So I've been shocked at how he stayed to his promises.
And look, you got involved. You would have come to the convention virus not hurt. That's not something you've done in a while, I'm sure. Fired up as you feel about making sure that we reelect this guy. Right. And I wasn't in 2016, and
No, you weren't. I remember that.
but even after I decided, he's the nominee now, so we're going to have to vote for him. Right. It was to stop Hillary. It wasn't because, oh boy, Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
People like me are fired up for this guy because we've seen how he performs, and I sense that all around the country from the people that came together over this convention.
Well, I've said previously that I didn't know a single person who had voted for Trump last time wasn't voting for him this time. And Julie kind of went, Craig Silverman. Oh, yeah, Craig Silverman.
That's one, but I imagine you gained
a loss.
Well, listen, last question for me, anything else or any last words, anything else you want to say before we let you go there?
Well, my experience with your listeners and people that listen to our show is that they're already involved. But if people aren't involved, or if you think just showing up and voting or making some calls or whatever is enough, it's great. That's really, really important to do. But you've got to get other people involved. KahloGOP.org has great resources. The Trump Victory has great resources. There's an app for your phone, and I always forget the name of it. But if anybody wants to write me, I'll tell them what it is. Or maybe I'll chat it to you here in a minute when we're done. But we have to treat this like the battle for the survival of our country.
Because it is.
Yeah. There's never been an election in my life, and Chuck's been involved in this stuff far longer than I have, and I'm sure.
Not that much longer.
He's only 28. So.
I don't mean by years, but you've just been, I'm a decade. I'm kind of a novice still. There's just nothing like this time in our history. Cities on fire. Mm-hmm. What's happening in Denver's national news out here. So we got to fight like our lives and our kids' lives depend on it, because it truly does.
Yeah.
And finally, you're going to be, I'm sure, 710 Ken US Saturday morning, 9 to noon, talking about all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really going to be exciting to come back. I have no idea what it's going to be like or where I'll be sitting. I know it won't be like the 2016 convention, though, Chuck. We were not put in far back by CNN this time.
Even then, it was great.
Well, the yard
even
isn't that big. You have to be kind of close, right? So, yeah. And if they put you far back, Randy, that's only for social distancing. They wanted to have you right up in the front.
Wasn't that great to see people last night in the Rose Garden?
Yes, yes, yes.
Masks.
Right.
Yes, yes.
And just being
and compared to Joe Biden, this ghost-like figure, 30 feet away from his vice president, kind of signaling.
it truly is a dystopian world that we're living in, but not for the reason CNN is saying.
It's not dark.
Real quick, CNN, at the laundromat, CNN on the CNN on the, did I lose you guys?
No, we're here.
We got you.
I lost the picture. CNN on the on the TV, they were reporting on the new recommendations from the CDC, and they said CDC no longer recommending quarantine due to pressure from, quote, the top, close quote, of the Trump administration. They can't help themselves. And none of those efforts have worked since 2015 against this president. I don't think they're going to work.
The one I liked was Joe Lockhart, who was a one-time press secretary for the DNC. And they had Sandman on it. Get that snot-nosed entitled person off the TV. And you go, perfect. Perfect, Joe.
Another lawsuit.
Keep it up.
Lynn
Keep
Wood
it
is
up.
Taking notes. Randy, thank you so much. Enjoy
Take
your
care.
Time. Have a lot of fun on Thursday. All right, folks. Randy Corcoran there. You got to be sure to catch his show Saturday morning at our old station, 710 KNUS. Coming up here in a few minutes, we're going to be talking to a woman doing exactly what Randy said.
Exactly,
just a regular person, right? And she I'll let her tell her story. But when you hear her story, it's really amazing. Before we get to her, though, I want to real quick tease something. You heard it here first. If you guys have been following the shooting in Kenosha, I have a little bit of inside information. I'm from Illinois, Woodstock, Illinois, as a lot of you guys know. But I have people I know in Antioch, which is where this kid was from, the 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, I think his name is. And so the shooting was Tuesday night. Apparently, very early, the word was getting out in Antioch. The schools there had been locked down. The police are on high alert. They just really don't know what to expect.
Which is a bizarre reaction,
which is
by
a
the
bizarre
way.
Reaction, by the
They're
way.
They're closing down the schools in Antioch. But somebody was arrested in Kenosha.
You had it. Well, no, he was arrested in Antioch, but you heard it here first. On Monday, we had former law enforcement expert Mark Poff on, and he said, and I said, and Chuck said, this violence, when the government fails to do its job, and when the Democrat leaders fail to let the police do their job, it creates a vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum, and so you get violent people on both sides. And Mark Poff was saying, you're going to have a bunch of people with their own guns showing up, not trained, and he said bad things are going to happen. People are going to get hurt, people are going to get killed, and then boom, the very next day in Kenosha. So we're going to have Mark back. But I want to, if you haven't been following that, there's video all over the place. Just a little while ago, I saw a new video that somebody has put together. It was an Antifa, an anti-Antifa site, and it shows what appears to be this kid being chased before any shooting occurred, being chased and having stuff thrown at him by one of the rioters, and that's when you hear the gun, right? And then somebody's saying a shot. And you also see this kid clearly going back, and I'm reading into it, but he doesn't run away right away. It appears that he's trying to help and wants to try to help. And then all of a sudden the people turn on him, and then he runs again.
Yes.
And that's when they tackle him, and he shoots from the sitting down position. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see. Now what? Let me be clear. I think that you should never have a 17-year-old illegally carrying a gun to anything like that. But I blame, once again, the Democrat leaders. When you don't let the police do their job, you know, here you've got like the kid, the protester in Aurora, Colorado, right, who accidentally shot two other protesters. I think that's Mike Kaufman and the police chief's fault there too. Because you know what? If they had to let the police do their job, these dangerous situations wouldn't exist in the first place. But now you've got people wounded. You've got two kids under arrest. You've got people killed.
So we'll talk about that Monday. And I want to spend a second talking about synergetics, we could. It's an age management medicine. The goal is to medically reverse your biological age, so you look and feel and act much younger. Your strength, stamina, power to be restored. Rebalance your body in the 20s or 30s, enable you to regain, get back a youthful mind, bodily function, boost your libido, eliminate sleep issues, and power boost your mental acuity. Protect yourself from age-related diseases. To shield yourself from viruses, infections, and other diseases like COVID, and empower you with unlimited resources, email, text, and phone to your personal doctor and professional staff, which is Julie McCallum. And you will get the highest standards of medical safety and five-star service. So
here's
call
the
Julie McCallum.
McCallum.
She will personally talk to you, personally give you an interview of her if it's right for you. So call 720-387-3681 or Cenegenics, C-E-N-G-E-N.
Wait, no, you always say that the other. C-E-N-E.
C-E-N-E-G-E-N-I-C-S. Or the number again, 720-387-3681.
All right.
So we're Chuck and Julie said.
That's right. Okay, so we're hoping. So, hey, Thomas, do we have, I saw we had Cindy, then Cindy dropped. Do we have Cindy back?
We have it.
She's with us. Okay, so Cindy is joining us on the phone. And first of all, Cindy, I want to say, poor Cindy, she's a friend of a friend. And I heard about her. I'm like, hey, can you come on the show? And she's like, yeah, I guess I could. And then I'm like, okay, tomorrow at 3. And she was like, oh. And so I want to thank you very much for your time, Cindy. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us this afternoon.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Okay, so why don't you tell, you've sort of formed, I mean, this is, it doesn't get much more grassroots than this. And rather than me try to explain it, why don't I let you just explain, what did you do and why did you do it?
Okay. Well, you know, of course, we were in the middle of COVID, and, you know, you feel isolated. And so I, the more you read, and then you, of course, you listen to too much and watch too much and TV, and then you have a lot of social media. There seemed to be a lot of hate. I was feeling very alone. So as my doors to my outside yard opened up, and I had a neighbor come over, and we started talking, and I said, I feel alone, and trying to find out that she felt the same way I did. Politically, so I felt like I could open up, and then we found we had maybe more, and I kept saying I'm going to form a group, and she said, well, go for it, and so I invited a few friends over, and they invited a few more, and so we had, I think the first 3 weeks ago, we had about 14 women of like minds. Anybody's welcome, though, and last night, we had another group, and we were up to almost 20, so...
Oh.
We have about 30 people, that 30 women that are interested in just sharing their thoughts and ideas on conservative values.
Well, let me ask you about this, because I think that's just amazing, because that's exactly how it works. And Cindy Green here, that is, I mean, that's just the perfect way to do it. You just start talking to somebody, right? I mean, that's been my thing. Whether we agree or disagree, we have a lot more in common. And I have long felt, because I'm a suburban woman, right? Long felt that there are a lot more people who think like we do, and they just don't really feel comfortable saying it. Probably because they don't want to get in a hassle. Probably they don't want somebody being mad at them or shouting at them. You know, they don't want the conflict. So they just don't say anything. But what I hear you saying is you're finding when you open your mouth, people are like, hey, I agree with you. I'm with you on that, right?
Absolutely. And it's just been, it has been amazing. I feel that my heart is full. I felt after the first time, I felt happy just because I knew that there was other people out there and other women that felt the same way. And we all, I felt like maybe I was the only one, and I realized I'm not. And we love our country, number one. That's what we do. We're all suburban women from various backgrounds, various, gosh, fields of how we got to where we are. Many of us were lifelong Democrats when the Democratic Party used to be what it was. We kind of transitioned over and now find ourselves in this position. And we we've been sharing ideas and just, we want to know how to communicate better, and we want to know how to get along and make our country what we felt like we grew up with, even. And maybe that's, you know, albeit it's different, it's changed, I get that. But I guess I just, we don't want to be shouted down,
right?
But we also want to have a voice. And I feel like maybe we do have a voice, and I'm beginning to believe the fact that we do actually have a voice, and we need to be heard. And not worry about so much about what somebody else thinks that we're wrong. We're not wrong. We just believe in those same values, and that's what we want to project to, you know, whoever wants to listen.
Huh? Hey, listen.
Well, that's amazing.
Let me just open it up for phones. If somebody, because Cindy had said she'd take phone calls. If you want to, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, if you have any thoughts on what Cindy's talking about. Okay.
Yeah, and these days, to get 20 people together, you know, for
anything.
And women, no less.
Yeah,
yeah,
and women,
busy
no less.
Women, yeah.
And conservative women, or women who love their country and stuff. I mean, that's tremendous. I mean, that is
well,
that
and that's
so
it's
tremendous.
Not like you guys have billboards and ad campaigns and marketing strategies, right? You're just, this is just sort
no,
of a word of mouth thing that you're spreading.
Word of mouth, yeah.
Cindy, let me
totally
ask you
word
this.
Of mouth. Somebody shared with somebody else, and that's how we are now. And we actually have a group of about 30 to 35 of us right now. All couldn't be here last night. We're going to do this again in probably a couple more weeks. I've said, you know, my house is open, my yard is open, so we're willing to do that, and we just share ideas, and that's what we do.
Any fear of the police coming and arresting you all?
Yeah,
literally,
no,
I mean,
no,
that's
well.
Not...
I hope not, Chuck. I really do hope not, but I thought about that. I didn't really, I guess I just have to put my fear aside. I as a Christian woman, I believe that, you know, somehow God will be there. So I hope not.
Let me, and I can see, I think we might have Randy Corporan listening. So maybe we can figure out ways to get you guys some help in terms of some of the stuff to say. I don't want you to give any phone numbers or locations or anything like that out over the air, because I don't want, you know, sometimes you get unintended consequences. But is it possible for maybe you and I to communicate when you might be having another meeting, and I can let our people know, and then they can contact me or you or something? I mean, can we maybe set something like that up? Because I'm going to bet I want to come the next time, and I bet there's other people who do too.
I said I'd absolutely be glad to do that. That's basically how we've done this so far, is one person communicates to another, and then it's grown.
Okay.
Well, Randy can tell you. I mean, you know, he has a great group, the Rapportiva, but getting 30 people together, you know, I mean, he's been working on it a long time. It's really,
well, and
really
just
great. In a couple of weeks, I've got 30 women,
conservative
women that feel like-minded enough. They want to get together, discuss issues, see what they can do. And you know, you get 30 people and all of a sudden you got,
and I know Cindy was, I was talking to her, hopefully we'll get her back here. You know, it was, she was telling me, you know, and I agree with her on something. She said, you know, I know they're not everything that I like about Donald Trump. She said, but I like his message and I like what he's doing for this country. And she said, you know, I started feeling lonely and isolated. And she said, you know, I opened my mouth and all of a sudden somebody said to me, hey, I agree with you too. And then somebody else said, I agree with you too. And Chuck, I think that, well, I think number one, as we're seeing with people like Cindy Green, there is the silent majority has decided we're not going to be silent anymore, right? The silent majority is saying, no, we're going to speak up because there are a lot of things at stake here. And the silent majority, you know, you see those videotapes of those people in Washington, D.C. at the restaurants, right? Where the Antifa people, the Black Lives Matter people are surrounding them. They're like right here, and they're screaming at them, raise your fist, right? First, I'm like, what on earth is going on with the restaurants that they're allowing that? And again, that the police are allowing that. But I think people are like, hey, wait a minute. You know, I'm entitled to my opinion, whatever it is. And I shouldn't have to be subjected to some mob coming at me at a restaurant threatening me. So, okay. Hey, Cindy, tell me about some of the things, like, you know, you and I were talking on the phone when we were talking about this, that why it is so important to you that we be able to stand up for some of the things that you're talking about, you know, regarding the future of our country.
Well, first of all, for my grandchildren, I want this country to be strong. I do believe in America First. Believe that we can be better. I think there's things we want to work on, but I think we need, there's so much hate right now. That's the problem, I think. And I really would like to stop some of the hatred, because I don't feel that way. And I think all the people that were here don't feel that way either.
So what are some of the stuff that the women that you're getting together with, what are the kinds of things that they're saying?
I think we've just been talking a little bit about how do we deal with some of the hate that we're feeling from the other side, and how do we talk to somebody that feels to the left? And it's not a convincing thing. And how do we handle it in our own lives, in our own families, that, you know, disagreements and things. I think that we want to, I think we believe in, you know, our Second Amendment rights. I have a hard time with putting out something for Trump. We all asked the question, would you put something out? And we all said, maybe not, because we're afraid of our homes getting, you know, some egged. I just had a friend whose house was egged because of a Trump sign. And I don't, you know, we talk a little bit about that. How would we feel about that? Are we strong?
Right.
We're women of strength.
Right.
And I just want to project that. And we talk a little bit about, you know, dealing with people, how we feel like, speaking of Melania the other night, what a beautiful lady, what a beautiful first lady. Speaking of all the speakers that were on, Tim Scott to, all the ones that just became citizens. Oh my God, tear in my eye. That's what I want for this country. I want you to be happy that you're here, because this is the land of opportunity. This
right.
is the land of greatness, and we can do anything. We are Americans, and I think that's foremost. It's like we all come from different backgrounds. Italian, I'm Swedish, you know, all that. That's fine. But I'm an American first. And I say this to my grandson. I say, you know, there's four things I want you to remember when I'm gone. One, respect yourself. Two, respect your country. Three, respect your flag. Four, respect the office of the presidency. You may not like who's in it, him or her. You may not like them, but you respect the officer because that's what democracy is.
What did you think about Hillary Clinton's suggestion that Biden never concede no matter what after the election? I mean, just it's a sick woman.
I think that Hillary needs to just go maybe back and start just babysitting for her
there you go. She's about, well, you know, Cindy, what you said was just so beautiful. And that's the thing. And I know exactly how you guys feel because we feel the same way. I've got some relatives who are firmly convinced that we're all going to die of coronavirus, right? And you struggle because what do you say? We've talked about a Trump sign in our yard, right? And I got to say, I felt ashamed of myself for even doubting it because boom, our neighbor put one up, right? And I think that the kind of thing that you're doing with this group of women, you let people know, okay, maybe they're going to egg my house, but then I'm just going to put up another one. It's,
we got to get a Trump sign out now.
Yeah, I know. Well, we will, because we're going to go to the Trump bus, which I'll talk about here a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think what you do, Cindy, is so tremendously helpful because you let people know you're not alone. There are plenty of other people. So some maybe crazy person takes your sign, right? Or eggs your house. There are plenty of other people who support you.
And that's it. I think we all felt that way after last night. We all said, you know, we have to be brave. I just had one of my friends, her dad is 86 years old, and he put out a Trump sign. And I said, if he's brave enough to put out a Trump sign at 86 years old, I certainly at my age could put out a Trump something. Because that's what I think is the biggest problem. We can't hide, and we shouldn't. This is democracy, and if God forbid Biden gets in, but if he does, you know, I have to accept that. And then I have to work harder to try to bring out about the other side that I want and change. And that's what democracy really should be.
Right.
You know, and I think we've gotten to this personality thing. And Trump's easy to hate. I can see that. Things he says, tweets, whatever. That's
right.
You know, I always say you might not like the messenger, but you got to adhere to the message and the policies of what you know, he's putting forth, and I have to go with his policies versus the other side's policies because I don't like that.
Yeah, no. I'm a few inappropriate quote tweets, or maybe a lot of compared to burning cities and riots and
killings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really, well, no comparison.
And let me say this, and this is another thing I admire about you. When you say, okay, if we lose, we'll fight harder, you're not talking about burning down the state capitol, right? You guys, you and your 30 women aren't going to go knock out all the windows in downtown Denver to try to hold the city hostage, right?
That'd be great.
And I think that that's it. I don't want to see that. You know, I that's a sad thing. I look at downtown Denver and I think, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, go downtown Palace, all boarded up. Amazing.
Exactly. And it was, we revitalized it, you know, and it became this beautiful, with the Rockies down there, it became this great gathering place. And now it's kind of becoming not, of course, COVID hasn't helped. I try to support small businesses because, you know, I try to, trying to go to somewhat some restaurants that are available and open, at least sit outside if I can.
Right.
But they need our help too. And I can't be afraid. My friends will say, well, you can't, when we first opened up and you can't go get your hair cut or your nails done. And I said, I have to, because I have to. And they're wearing masks. I said, I have to, because I have to support them. They've been suffering and I have to go help them. And that's the only way I can do it. I can't, you know, do their job for them. But the other thing is, I think we raise our kids in the environment that we want them to be. I've always said to my kids, nothing in life is free. Yeah. Even love, sometimes that's the most expensive entity is love. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, nobody's going to give you something for nothing. You have to work for it. And there's no greater feeling than getting your first paycheck.
Yes.
When your name is on. And then I turned it over to the other side and realized, oh, wait a minute. The feds took out, the state took out. I didn't get that much. But that was me. I earned that. And for whatever they were paying me, I still earned it because I put forth the work. And we kept working. My husband and I have had businesses and we've had ups and downs in those businesses through the years, but we kept working hard towards it and struggling. And when Obama came and said, you know, you didn't build that, I just about screamed because I thought, where was he at midnight when we had greenhouses and so we planted flowers and I didn't see him there
I didn't call.
And then we didn't have enough money to put up siding. So we had to put up plastic and the wind blew and it blew all the plants out of the benches that we had just planted for 5 hours. And I didn't see Obama there, but
no.
We did build it and we did it. And I can't apologize for working hard and being and maybe if I made a dollar or two, I did earn that. And I'm not saying that, but everybody has that opportunity if you put forth some measure of work. And it right. doesn't mean necessarily that you have to have a bigger house or two cars, but it just means that you have what you need for your family that makes you feel good about the effort that you put into life.
Exactly.
Whatever that means. And I just had this pain.
You ever think of running for political office?
I know, Cindy, we're going to be recruiting you. Hey, listen, we're kind of running out of time here. So we'll let folks know. I'll give you my email, okay? I'll text it to you. And then we can communicate and I can communicate. And once again, I just applaud you. Number one, for doing what you've done. You told me you grew from like you and your neighbor to now, you know, 30, 35 like-minded women saying we need to take care of our country. That's what makes this country great. And thank you too for coming on the show. I so appreciate that.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And we'll get the word out. And yes, there are more of us out there. And we're Trumpsters.
All right, Cindy. Good for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Cindy
Green, folks. Thank you so much. Thank you. We have a little bit of time if people want to call up 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. You know, I think what she's talking about, what do you think? Just a lot more of that out there. Not just women, but people, a lot more out there saying, okay, you know, maybe I think twice about putting a Trump sign on, which you shouldn't. But I'm going to vote for Donald Trump, and I'm not going to tell it to a poll.
I don't know if that's out there or not. I mean, I don't see it in the polls, but I'm hoping that there is. I'm hoping that Cindy represents the type of thing that's occurring in a lot of neighborhoods and a lot of towns throughout Colorado and the country where people go, I'm not going to let them push me around. I'm going to go ahead and put an egg in my house or do what else they want to do. But
And Sandra is one of these kind of people too. And Sandra, I just so thank you for, she's always chatting with us. Freedom is free is never free. They now own you. That's why we treasure our freedom. She said, I admire this woman talking about Cindy. Yes, we are out there. I think she's right. And like you said, you know, you look at some of the tricks that the Democrats have, the strategies that's, you know, doesn't matter. You know, what did the Arapaho County clerk was right, vote early and vote often. It was hard. It's like, they weren't really joking when they said that long ago.
Well, but I'm also hoping a lot of people realize that, you know, this COVID about schools is just a disgrace. Teachers unions are anti-kid. I hope that these groups like Cindy's and Arapaho Tea Party and others really start to grow again and start really getting the power that a true grassroots organizations can do.
Hey, and I want to let folks know too, we got an email about this. Thank you to Joanne Winholtz from the Arapaho or Adams County folks.
Adams County, yeah.
The Trump bus, I saw a picture of it. It's just cool. It's just like this big campaign bus, but the Trump bus is going to be here in Adams County. And I'm going to go at 10:15 Friday. And essentially it's at the Adams County Victory Office.
Where's that?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, good.
3489 West 72nd, essentially 72nd and Lowell. Okay. At 10:15, there are going to be a bunch of candidates there. That's why I think I'm going to go and put out a Trump sign or get a Trump sign. Now, under our HOA rules, we have to wait till it's 45 days out. I get that. But I think I'll put up, because she's right. It's like, okay, so they egg
they
the house.
They burn down cities, but God knows if we put a Trump sign a day.
You know, well, the city of Westminster, you never know. Let me then, Chuck, kind of wrap it up. Chuck has been... you've been very closely paying attention. You watch the DNC, the RNC. Why don't you give kind of your overall analysis there?
Well, I found the DNC morbidly fascinating. It really
but
was.
Not interest, but good.
No, I found it interesting. Okay. I found it interesting. And I thought of the high points were Michelle Obama's speech and Joe Biden's. I mean, I wasn't expecting much from Joe Biden's.
Low bar.
Low bar, but he managed to say it. I found it weird. Very few Hispanics, very few Asians. There's a very kind of strange one.
Strange diversity concept
strange
that they have there.
Strange diversity concept. The Republican one's been a shock to me because, you know, I said, you know, it's very hard to put a virtual convention on. I mean, I could easily, you know, criticize the Democratic one, but, you know, how do you do it better? Well, you think that the Democrats with Hollywood behind them would have put on, you know, the great virtual show. And instead, the Trump one has been tremendous. And the average person, you know, the people from Maximo Alvarez to the Maine Lobstermen last night. I mean, they've just been killer.
Well, you think just exactly. Well, here's the trouble. The Democrats don't have any average people anymore, right? All they have are like elites or rioters, right? I mean, yeah. There isn't any average person out there with a great story. Well, I know that's an exaggeration, but still, I mean, nor do I think they value that, right? If you're an elite, they have the elites, and then they have the other people, elites and victims. That's all they want to hear from. They don't want to hear any feel-good stories about how you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps.
I think Trump has done a great job by having, talking to average citizens, you know, inductees into naturalization and everything else, made him very human, opposed to the disemboweled ghost of Joe Biden, masked up, standing 30 feet away from his vice president, and it's strange.
Well, and we've got Ben just saying, and don't forget Nick Sandman. Hey, Ben, yeah. I know you know how to do Zoom. If you're on Zoom and you want to, which you must be because you're chatting with us, you want to go ahead and turn on your camera and your mic, feel free to speak up.
Sure.
So what's been your take on the whole thing?
On the, which one, the Democrats? Yeah. After I got past the projectile vomiting, watching some Democrats, then I decided that I'd listen to them a little bit. But all I heard was socialism coming out of that. It was really, you know, they say ours is dark. Theirs is really dark. So I find ours is a little bit more uplifting. I like the messages coming out from the Trump administration and all the people there. I especially like the fact that they're poking them by saying, you know, they're doing it in the Rose Garden.
And yeah, they can't stand it.
Right. And also you have, Pompeo giving his message of support from Jerusalem.
Somehow that's illegal.
I love that. You know, one of my favorite YouTube videos is watching the election night of 2016 and watching their reaction. So I don't know, it's fun to watch this stuff, right? Not.
And they fall for it every time. The Democrats fall for it every time. They end up tweeting these sour grapesy things and everyone, like, they completely ignored it. It's like, you can't pardon someone at a convention. It's like, forget the fact that the guy's happy that he got pardoned. You know, they would rather have him be a criminal. So much for criminal justice.
Yeah, where does it say that? Where does it say you can't pardon him during? You can pardon him anytime you want to.
Then you have Biden giving his speech, you know, and then they all get excited. I think one person said, oh, the toddler takes his first steps. You know, so that's perfect. You know, they're all excited about the guy actually can read a teleprompter.
Well, I can feel a certain growing optimism on the Republican side, which is sort of reflecting the betting odds.
For Chuck being optimistic
the betting odds are starting to shrink. And I think two more days of this,
if
it continues at the pace they're doing it, I think the Republicans will go kind of rushing into Labor Day, which I think would be tremendous.
I think we're going to build momentum as we go through this. And I've told several people that I've spoken to over the last few months that I believe that you might see a serious comeback of the Republican Party here in this state.
Wow.
I think there's a lot of people that are just, as Cindy was saying, you know, she's getting it together with other like-minded people. We're all kind of fed up with this. So I would encourage her to talk to those ladies about next year's elections. And that's the most important ones. That's the ones that the local races are. And as, you know, my friend Anil says, this is where it starts. It starts at the local school board races, your city council, your county commissioner races. These are the important races. Yeah. I mean, I understand how the national races are important, but let me tell you, there's nothing that they can do for you on the local basis. That's where
I agree totally. Although right now, one election at a time.
But you're right. Here's where you got to keep it up.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you for popping in.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on. That was great to talk to Randy Corcoran.
Thank you to Cindy Green.
Cindy Green.
Thank you to our sponsors, Synergenics.com and ColoradoCitizenPress.com.
Gotta go to Colorado Citizen Press every day.
And let me tease, coming up on Friday, we're going to have Patrick Neville, as always, for the Weekly Minority Report, talking about the lawsuit that Randy was mentioning they filed today. And also, we're going to have George Anthonisopoulos, the A-man. He's doing some deep diving into some of the campaign contributions.
Where did all this money come for Trump?
I mean, right. Who is it? Trump has raised like $5.6 million in Colorado, way more than he did in 2016,
he raised more than Biden. $500,000 in the last election.
Yeah, so we're going to take a look and see where that's coming from, because I think it's individual donors. We won't be saying people's names, but I think...
Bob, Tommy.
No. But anyway, we'll get into that too. So everybody, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on Party Friday.
Take care. Look forward to seeing you Friday.